Hey Joe, I like your show. I tell everybody that's my shit. And if you got a long ride and you like getting high, maybe go and take another hit. We gonna laugh out loud, that's what it's about. Nobody ain't safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause a motherfucker 6'4". Hey Joe, it's time to start the show. Up, up and away we go. Mic check and I like your flow. Everybody, here's Joe.
Hello everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Joe Prano podcast. I am your host, Joe Prano. I am sitting here in my guest bedroom in Los Angeles, California, wanting to get some stuff off my chest. This podcast is something that now two episodes in a row, we really never thought we'd do here. Going solo. It's, God, it's a long way from where this podcast started, but here we are. First of all, if you're not already subscribed to the Substack, please subscribe to the Substack. We'll talk about that more in a minute. If you are subscribed to the Substack, thank you. Shout out to Keenan Soto, our first paid subscriber to the Substack. Everything so far right now on the Substack is free, but soon we will get to the point where we start putting out exclusives for people who do want to support. I took down my Patreon, so thank you to everybody who was supporting that through the years. It's now all on Substack. $5 gets you exclusive stuff. I'm going to start putting up some stand-up clips that are not ready for mass distribution on the internet. I'm going to put up some podcasts that are not ready for mass distribution on the internet. Maybe I'll actually write some things. I do have a journalism degree. Maybe I should actually use Substack for what most people use it for and put a little newsletter in there. But first things first, go over there and subscribe. It's free for now. There's a Twitter feature called Notes. There's chats, which is like a Slack-type thread that all of the subscribers can participate in. And then there's just, you know, the Joe Prano Substack homepage, which is where this podcast will be put up, where we're going to do live halftime happy hours for Knicks games, where we're going to do all kinds of other things. And it's all, like I said, free for now. But go subscribe, and then when I start saying, hey, this thing's there, and it's behind a paywall, you can decide if you want to participate in that. But for now, we're over there. And if you're wondering like how this came about, it's pretty simple. Twitter has become a fucking cesspool. I mean, when I first heard about Elon Musk taking over Twitter, I thought, great, this is awesome. Twitter had sort of been stuck in a rut for far too long. All we wanted was an edit button. All we wanted was the bots to go away. All we wanted was the, you know, anonymous trolls to disappear. The verification thing is like whatever. Yes, I was verified on Twitter before for free, but like I didn't really give a shit. Like, it was cool for them to be like, yeah, you're fucking a comedian, and so many people are pretending to be you. Redneck Joe Prano, Joe Prano's lisp, Joe Prano's mustache, whatever the fucking, you know, fake accounts of me were. It was cool that at one point they were like, no, this is the real Joe Prano. But like, I had fucking 13,000 followers. It's not like anybody saw my verification notice in their fucking mentions and were like, ooh, look at that. Like, no one thought I was some famous person. But the Twitter verification thing and the Elon Musk taking over Twitter has just made it such a disaster. Like, I understand that there was a time where it felt like people who were verified for being quote unquote famous or for, you know, being deemed worthy of that badge would get special attention in some sort of way. But to me, the only thing, like I said, that was cool about it was just knowing that this is the person that you think you're talking to. Like, it always would piss me off when there was fake Joe Prano accounts out there that were just saying shit in my name. So when I got the verified badge, I was like, okay, cool. Like, did I think suddenly, you know, Netflix was going to be calling for my comedy special, or, you know, NBC was going to give me the Tonight Show because suddenly I was verified? Of course not. But it just was nice that when people put in Joe Prano, they didn't find my cousin who has at Joe Prano, or they didn't find Joe Prano's, you know, Jew nose, which I think somebody had for a while. The hilarity behind that. But the verification on Twitter when Elon Musk took over, I was like, dude, this could actually be cool. What if everybody on Twitter has to put in their real name, their real picture, and they have to verify it with a license, and then they would get a verification badge, and then Elon would shove all of the verifications to the top and people who didn't want verifications to the bottom. And that would mean that basically you'd only be communicating with people who are who they say they are. I thought that would just been great, especially if you do it for free. Like, just that's all you got to do. You put your name in, you verify it with an ID, and you are verified. And it will make the conversation that's going on Twitter a place that is real. Like, it's a conversation that's real. You're having a real conversation with real people. And sure, that means the John Smiths of the world, you'll have 10 other million people named John Smith who have a verified bet. Who cares? Like, I never cared about being the one and only. Like, there are other guys named Joe Prano out there. Verify my cousin or second cousin, whatever, at Joe Prano as well, because we're both really Joe Prano. But it wasn't that at all. Instead, it was some, you know, there became something, which is fascinating to me. It became something where every person with a verified badge before became blue checkmark libtard fuckheads. And so essentially everybody hated, you know, there's a whole group of people, conservatives, whatever, who hated the blue checkmark elites, right? Meanwhile, the first chance they got to pay Elon Musk $8 a month and become one of the blue checkmark elites, they fucking jumped at it. Not only did they jump at it, they basked in it, even though it wasn't the thing that they wanted it to be. They wanted to be recognized for being who they were, but instead they were just recognized as somebody who handed over $8 to Elon Musk, who's grifting for your money. So now verified users, like, honestly, 97% of verified replies I see are from people who don't have a real name, who don't have a real picture. So not only did the new verification process not get rid of the trolls, it just verified them. Like, I was so excited at the idea of, wow, verify everybody, because then it won't be a troll site anymore. No, it's the complete opposite. Everybody who's verified is a troll, and he's boosting the verified replies. So now under everything, you just have boosted troll replies. You now have a verified tab for all of you who are verified or who have been in the past. You know that before, if you were verified, you had a tab that showed you replies, likes, retweets, whatever, just from verified people. And now you still have that tab. Everybody has that tab. But it's just all fucking troll accounts. Not to mention the For You page, which who want, like, isn't that, wasn't that the beauty of Twitter? Making your own feed, like cultivating your own feed, like putting together a list of people that you want to follow. If you're into soccer, you follow soccer people. If you're into fucking tech, you follow tech people. If you're into politics, you follow politics people. And now there's a For You tab, which just shows me all the things I don't want to see. I wasn't an Elon Musk hater prior to him taking over Twitter. I have said it before. I find Elon Musk fanboys super duper weird. Like, my joke that I've told on stage is I don't remember being a kid and having a bunch of like Lee Iacocca stands out there. Like, he's just a fucking rich dude who really, 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 really wants to feel important and cool. And if you didn't already know that from going on Joe Rogan and like smoking weed seemingly for the first time, it's all he wants. He just wants to be cool. And what he found was the people who think he's cool are the people that are on Twitter and are, sorry, the right. So he caters to them. Everybody does that. Like, I found that sports fans like my opinion, so I started a sports podcast. But he found that the people who like his opinion were fucking Twitter trash who hated coastal elites with blue checks. So he literally catered his whole site to like dunking on those people and hoisting up internet trolls that were upset that people had blue checks. So I'm out on fucking Twitter. I'm out. It's why I have the Substack. It's why we're going to move over there. It's why I hope you follow me. It just has become like, yeah, I've tweeted a couple times since I said I was out because, you know, I need people to know that I'm doing a show in Stamford, Connecticut on June 7th. And I hope you guys will all come if you're in the tri-state area anywhere. Even if you're in New York City, take a subway out there or a Metro North or, you know, take the New Haven line out there because I'll be doing an hour and it's way more than you'll see me in New York City ever. So come to my show, New York Comedy Club Stamford on June 7th. But I have 13,000 people there. But at this point, it doesn't even feel like that's reaching my 13,000 people. Like, the numbers have gone way down. He's throttling people that don't want to pay $8. And the bottom line is, one, Twitter has always been a little bit of a cesspool, so the idea of ever paying $8 to participate in that shit is nonsense. But I absolutely don't want to pay $8 to now be branded verified when everybody who is branded verified is kind of fucking trash. Like, if you had just said, pay $8, get longer tweets, get an edit button, get longer video, and you have to verify with your name, your face, and your ID, I'd have been in. But there are so few people on that fucking site that have verified with their name and their, like, if you're allowing somebody to put in an ID that says Joe Prano or John Smith or Tom Jones or whatever, and then have their account be Joe Biden is a cuck, then what? Then are you really even verifying something? Like, it's just so dumb and it's just so sad. Now the $8 check marks are like, what? You can't afford the $8? Motherfucker, I can afford plenty more than the $8. I just don't want to be a part of your group. Like, the idea of paying to be associated with you makes me want to kill myself. So because things are being throttled if you don't verify, and because I don't want to pay to be a part of a fucking group of people I think are trash, I'm out. So follow me on Substack. Subscribe to the Substack. Things are going to be coming your way if you do that. It's just like, it's sad because the social media landscape, and I've never been verified on Instagram, and now Instagram's doing the same thing. And I won't do that either. Like, why would social media is something as a comedian that I do begrudgingly. Trust me, if tomorrow somebody gave me $2 million in cash, first of all, I'd never do a stand-up comedy show again. Never. I'm just not that guy. I can't believe that guys like Joe Rogan have a massive podcast following and still take his he still takes his shitty Kim Kardashian jokes to fucking stand-up stage. Why? The idea that somebody like Jennifer Aniston or David Schwimmer, I always talk about the Friends people because like you guys are gonna be rich on your fucking back pay, rich on your fucking syndication pay for the rest of your life. Like, why are you even doing other shit? Like, oh, I just love the work. I don't. If you gave me $2 million cash tomorrow and said you can never do stand-up comedy again, bye. Fucking bye. And I'd immediately shut down all my Twitter accounts or my social media accounts. Twitter would be gone. Instagram would be gone. It'd all be fucking gone. Would I do a podcast behind a fucking paywall? Probably not. If I have $2 million, and that's not even that fucking much money, but if I have $2 million, you want to know where you can find my opinion? At the bar over some cold Miller Lite drafts. Like, it's just so insane to me that some people just need the attention. I put out my opinion on the internet now because, like, yeah, there's some part of it that, like, I hope you guys will pay for it, whether it be in a subscription or whether it be in coming to a comedy show because you like my opinions. It's like, this is a means to an end. Like, I don't want to work in a fucking office, but, like, if I want a scratcher tomorrow and got $2 million, you would have a hard time fucking finding me. And I'm not talking about on the internet. I mean physically. But in the meantime, here I am. You know, follow me on Substack. I've got a friend who works there. Seems like it's a good place. I feel like the fact that Twitter is hiding Substack links or shadow banning you if you put out Substack links is a good sign that it's a good place to be, because Twitter has become the fucking worst place to be. I used to think Facebook was the worst. Twitter is now like Facebook, like on steroids, because your grandma's account, your racist uncle's account, doesn't even have to be your racist uncle anymore. It could just be a fucking burner. It could just be a troll. It could just be a fucking thing. And like, it just doesn't seem like something that's even worth putting, you know, my Knicks fandom shit on anymore, or my Mets fandom shit on anymore, or, you know, dirty sports tweets. It's like, you can see the lack of engagement that you get. And listen, tomorrow I can take $96 or whatever it takes to be verified on Twitter for a year and hand it to a fucking social media guy for a month and be like, buy me a bunch of followers on Instagram and on TikTok and on whatever. Like, buying engagement has always been fucking hella lame. So I'm not about to do it on Twitter via a blue check mark. Like, I never gave a shit about anybody feeling like, ooh, that means something. It just fucking was like, oh, I guess that's the Joe Prano I'm looking for. And I'm sure that there's been some point where somebody went on Twitter looking for a different Joe Prano and found me with a fucking blue check mark and was like, who the fuck is this dickhead? And I get it. Like, but now you go on and it's like 99.9% of the people who have it are trolls. They're fake trolls with fake names, fake pictures, and they're just there sucking Elon's dick and pushing right-wing shit, and I'm fucking over it. So please follow me on Substack. That's where I'll be. Let's talk about some other shit. This has become a place that, like, here on the podcast, that I'm going to start doing these alone because I've got shit to say about certain things, and I've heard, like I said on the last episode, the dirty sports fans who don't want to hear about it, and Andy Ruther only wants to talk about the things he wants to talk about, and if it doesn't fall in that category, like, it's going to be upset to him. This is no diss on Andy Ruther, but, you know, I don't ever really police, anything. Like, Andy could talk about any topic that he wanted on the Dirty Sports Podcast. I don't really give a shit. And I will never be like, bro, that might like upset our listeners. Cause like, it's our show. It's our opinions. Like, that's how you get an audience, is by being yourselves. And again, this is not a diss on Andy, but Andy's like, well, I don't know why we have to talk about this all the time and why we have to talk about this all the time. And I think it alienates some listeners and whatever. And I'm like, cool. That's the difference between me and you, man. I want you to come here and talk about things that alienate people if it's important to you. Again, not a diss. It's just two different ways of approaching it. But this Phil Jackson story came out last week, and I would have loved to talk about it on the Dirty Sports Podcast, but I know that the Reddit crew, the blue check mark Elon Musk crew, and probably Andy himself would have been angry about the topic coming up. But Phil Jackson did a podcast with Rick Rubin, and I listened to it. 3+ hours of podcast. And you know, through the years, Phil Jackson as the coach of the Bulls and then the Lakers, there was moments of Phil that I did not like, and there was moments of Phil that I have liked. It seemed like he was, you know, it seemed like he was always a somewhat like hippy dippy zen kind of guy, and I thought that that meant that he was of a certain political state of mind as well. Not that everybody has to agree with me politically, but I do sometimes feel swindled when like you get like the Grateful Dead head who then turns out to be just like an old fucking racist dickhead. Like, I'm not even a deadhead, but it seems like that would be like hippie shit, right? Like, I went to Woodstock and now I don't like black people. That seems like a bait and switch. And you can say that the people calling Phil Jackson racist today are wrong. But Phil Jackson essentially said on this Rick Rubin podcast that he stopped watching the NBA during the bubble when they put Black Lives Matter on it, and he did a whole riff on like, oh, fucking world peace passes to fucking equality, and he thought it was so fucking hilarious, like how dumb it was. And that was upsetting to me as a kind of a guy who has become a fan of Phil Jackson as a person, even as much of a shithead as he was as the president of the Knicks, because it's hard to fucking run the Knicks. Like, James Dolan is like, I'll take everybody's side over fucking James Dolan. So, for Phil Jackson to say that, I was like, oh man, that feels like a real fucking stab in the back for somebody who was like, oh, Phil Jackson's cool. And you can say, oh, he wasn't being racist. Politics shouldn't be a part of sports. But I would argue that that is, Phil Jackson telling on himself, because in his explanation, he said, I don't like sports and politics, like keep politics out of sports. Meanwhile, when Phil Jackson was the coach of the Lakers, he was very political. There was a time where Prop 19, which would have legalized marijuana, was proposed in California. And Phil Jackson, in a pregame, you know, locker room convo with a reporter, weighed in. Jackson said the legislation is poorly written, but there's no need to have our federal system and our state system fill the prisons with people who have been prosecuted for this. I think marijuana has been known to be addictive, Jackson said at Staples Center on Tuesday before the Lakers game against Memphis. It's not something to be laughed at. I think it's a situation that can be handled and help our society out, and blah, 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 blah. So Phil Jackson didn't say, hey, man, don't ask me about politics. I'm here to coach basketball. There was another moment before a game when the Suns were wearing some Los Suns jerseys or whatever. And there was a big a political discussion about the border and the Arizona border specifically. And there was guys in the Suns who wanted to support the border, you know, support immigrants coming across the border, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a statute against that. And Phil Jackson weighed in on that. Jackson's support for the Arizona statute, which can only be enforced through impermissible racial profiling of Latinos, came to light on the eve of Monday's first game in the series. Jackson was asked by an ESPN columnist what he thought of the Suns owners and players declaring their solidarity with the law's opponents by wearing jerseys that read Los Suns during a game on Cinco de Mayo. The LA coach replied, "Am I crazy or am I the only one that heard the legislation say we just took the United States immigration law and adopted it to our state? Arizona lawmakers simply gave it some teeth to be able to enforce it." Again, I don't even give a shit about that somewhat fucking racist position. But the point is, he was asked questions before games and he didn't say, "Hey man, this is sports, not politics." Every time somebody would ask him his political opinion while he was coaching, he'd fucking lay into it. Meanwhile, NBA players did that in 2020, and now he doesn't want to watch basketball anymore because he doesn't think sports and politics should mix. That's fucking telling on yourself. That's fucking telling on yourself. It's okay for me to weigh in on politics whenever I want. But when players who actually make the league go weigh in on it, then I'm offended by it and I don't want to watch anymore. To me, what he's saying is I don't want to watch the NBA when their political opinions are different than mine. And Scottie Pippen called him out years ago for being racist, and everybody was like, "What the fuck are you talking about, dude? He coached black people the whole time." But the truth is, like, the evidence is there. And to me, Phil Jackson, with his standing in the conversation for greatest coach ever, when you look at championships won, with his standing with having coached Michael Jordan and the Bulls, Shaquille O'Neal and the Lakers, what he did in the Knicks organization, him saying that in a podcast to me is a fucking story. It is a fucking story and it should be talked about. But people want to go, "Oh man, like, can't the guy just have an opinion?" No, he fucking can't. And the rest of the podcast that he did, like, he looks fucking great at times and you like his character at times. But to me, that was like a super telling on himself moment. He was very open politically as a player, as a coach. But he got turned off, quote, when the NBA became political suddenly in 2020. No, dude, you got turned off when black guys started saying that they wanted to be treated fairly. And to me, it's just blatantly showing your racism. It's unbelievable that this is where we are today, because shit like this is happening all the fucking time. And I'm kind of sick and tired. I know, like, these solo podcasts I do aren't fucking hilarious. But it's become more of like a venting situation for me, because I just like cannot believe what's going on in the world today. If you are a devout follower of Joe Prano, you probably remember me doing Dirty Politics with Brett Ernst. And I almost still stand by some of the things I said there, but like a lot of the things I said, I was completely wrong about. You know, I said about the political situation, and I stand by that, like, I'm kind of glad Trump won over Hillary. Like, I think it would make America bottom out. I said I think it would make America bottom out. It would sort of make us, you know, a joke to everybody. And hopefully, you know, we would bounce back from the bottom and right ourselves. And I think it absolutely did the first part. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the bounce back that I was hoping for would happen. I was like, what will Hillary be? Business as usual. Whereas maybe Trump will be like us winning the fucking lottery. You know, we'll be the worst team in the league and we'll have a chance to rebuild. And then people said, "Hey, man, that's a fucking dangerous game. Like, he's going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And I was like, no, he's not. Don't be fucking stupid. He's going to make racists feel emboldened. No, people aren't just going to come out and just start, like, being Nazis again just because fucking some, you know, The Apprentice is president. I was like, don't be fucking stupid. Like, everything can't be, like, gloom and doom, worst case scenario. I was like, some fucking reality star is going to become president. We're going to be a fucking joke around the world. Everybody's going to be embarrassed by it, and we're going to fix our lives. I was wrong. You don't hear that from me a lot because fucking it's never that cut and dry, but boy was I fucking wrong. All the gloom and doom people that said shit was going to happen, it absolutely fucking happened. It absolutely fucking happened. Like, he did set up Roe versus Wade to be overturned. Racists did feel emboldened. They're out there now, and like, what's crazy to me is like, people I thought were like good people now say or like on Twitter or fucking show their support in a way for super racist shit and like don't even think that they're doing anything wrong. I'm not going to name names of some people that I feel real fucking swindled by personally, but like I check in on certain people's like Twitter likes every once in a while. And I was checking on somebody's today who's literally liking tweets about a guy getting murdered on the New York City subway. A guy got fucking murdered. A guy who is clearly mentally ill got choked to death by a Marine. And people are like, yeah, he should have. Like, you're like, what? There's all the video we've seen throughout the years of people doing some fucking wild shit on the subway or somewhere else, and then they get fucking attacked or they get shot or whatever. There's no video of this guy doing anything but like screaming, and we're now like in support of like vigilante justice, where like if you don't like how somebody's acting, you can choke them to death. To me, the idea, and like I get it, there's always going to be despicable people out there. There's always going to be people out there that see a black guy get strangled to death and secretly fucking like it. They don't care what he did. He's black and they fucking want that guy dead. There are super duper unabashed racists out there, and there always will be. There'll always be terrible people. But the idea that there are people out there who think they're good people, who think that they, you know, have, you know, reasonable thoughts, that are trying to be like normal, active members in society, that don't live in a fucking trailer in bumfuck, that live in Los Angeles, California, or New York, or whatever, who are supportive of a human being getting choked to death from behind by another human being because they were fucking screaming on the subway is fucking insane to me. And it's like, the bottom line is we're now at the point where people are supporting that and they don't even think that they're being racist. To me, that's crazy. I was so fucking wrong, dude. I was so fucking wrong. Racists are emboldened by our political landscape. Not only that, but I was wrong. Like, I didn't think reasonable people would become racists by our political situation. That to me is wackadoodle. Like, I cannot believe we're in a situation now where people just like don't even know it. They just go, yeah, man, like you can't act like that or else you'll get choked to death. What the fuck planet are we living on? So, yeah, listen, it's just I feel really fucking dejected right now. All I want is that scratch off lotto ticket for $2 million so I can disappear, because this shit is fucking garbage. I put on my list of things to fucking talk about. It was also just like some sports shit, like the New York sports situation, that, you know, we don't touch enough on the Dirty Sports, again, because, like, you know, we cover things on like a more broad basis. But I also put on the Substack in the thread situation, in the chat situation for you guys, and I'll put this up there if I ever continue to do these solo or with somebody else. I said, what you got? About to record a solo podcast. Want to get some things off my chest. Send any topics you'd like me to tackle. Substackers were the only people who will ever have a say, and that's true. I'm not going to fucking check my Twitter replies anymore. If you want to have a say on this podcast, if you want me to do a fucking 5-minute episode next week on something, send me a topic. I can put up these whenever the fuck I want. I can do live, you know, YouTube lives. I can do whatever. And if you follow on Substack, you'll see it in there and you'll get the link, and we'll do mailbags and we'll do fucking lives or whatever. Just follow me there and subscribe. But Ian Todaro said, who's in a worse spot right now? My Yanks or your Mets? I think we can both agree that we're worried about our Knicks. We are worried about our Knicks. In a way, I'm less worried about the Knicks than I am about the Mets, because we weren't really expecting a whole lot, right? Like, we were expecting to win one series, and we're now only looking forward to the potential of going to the Eastern Conference Finals because the Heat upset the Bucks. Now we're like, oh, we just got to beat the 8 seed. But it's like, it would be, I'm worried because, like I said on the Dirty Sports, I think this Pat Riley fucking cares, man. And the Heat were are a totally different team than they were in the regular season. So, yeah, I am worried. But, you know, a second round appearance is all I was sort of looking for. We got it. I'm not going to pretend that just because the matchup changed, like, I'm going to be devastated if they don't go to the Eastern Conference Finals. If they do go to the Eastern Conference Finals, I'll be ecstatic. I'm more worried, and let me just say this, I'm very worried about my Mets. But I'm more worried, or I should say, you said who's in a worse spot. The Yanks are in a worse spot than the Mets right now, and the Yanks are in a worse spot than the Mets right now because the Yanks are in a better division. The Braves are the best team in the NL East, and even today, as shitty as the Mets are, the Mets are the second best team in the NL East. The Yankees right now are in dead last place. Boston isn't mailing in the season. Baltimore's on the up and up. Tampa Bay's the best team in baseball. Toronto's, I think, in fucking second place. You know, it's a tough division right now, top to bottom. And the NL East isn't that. So, sorry, Toronto's in fourth. They're right above the Yankees. Baltimore's in second. So, I knew you guys were in last place. I thought Boston was in fourth. But it's Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Boston, Toronto, New York. So, yeah, I think that's the sole reason. Now, the Mets are not in a good place. Surprise, surprise, getting guys my age to be your 1-2 in the rotation, not a fucking great idea. It's not a fucking great idea. And I've been swimming lately, and I'm fucking sore all the time. I'm 43 years old. Now, am I a professional athlete? No. But guess what? Getting old sucks. And I didn't mind this when it's one guy. And to be totally honest, everybody knows my feelings on Max Scherzer. I've never been a huge Max Scherzer fan. So would I have preferred that they did this just with one guy and that guy was Verlander, like that they had not done it last year? Yeah. And I'm just going to say it. Like, I was shit on for kind of being a Marcus Stroman fan. And I again think fucking Mets fans, New York fans, baseball fans in general, I mean, look under anything Marcus Stroman tweets, man. It ain't just that he's fucking outspoken. Like, I hate to beat a dead horse today, but like, Marcus Stroman isn't a Met right now because of his quote unquote attitude. And Marcus Stroman has 6 quality starts this year in the bigs. And Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander have none. We didn't pay Jacob DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom's hurt. And Mets fans are fucking dancing on his grave. He's pitched more innings than Scherzer and fucking Verlander combined, I think. Like, it's just the idea of this, we're afraid to pay guys money because we've, you know, we're afraid what they're going to do in 3 or 4 or 5 years, but we will pay way more money to super old guys. And yeah, the Mets have a fucking offensive problem as well, but the last few years, when you go back to Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, this team was built on having power pitching that, if you get in the playoffs, can fucking carry you. In 2015, Jacob DeGrom shoved in the playoffs. Noah Syndergaard shoved in the World Series. Matt Harvey shoved in the World Series in what was the elimination game. And right now, I mean, you go back to last year, no one shoved in that Braves series. No one shoved in that Padres series. The closest we got was DeGrom, and he fucking, we let him go. We let the number one free agent go over money. And I just think that the lineup is going to get hot and the lineup is going to get cold. That is the, that is something that, everybody who has been a part of building this team sort of knew was going to happen. You have a lot of streaky guys. There are ball players that are consistent and there are ball players that are streaky, and the Mets have picked a lot of streaky guys. So the lineup's going to go through its ups and downs. It's going to have its hot weeks and its cold weeks, but the pitchers, they're supposed to be fucking lights out, and they're not. And Scherzer looks fucking washed and old and done. And hopefully Verlander can come back and be better, but man, if it doesn't happen soon, it might be fucking too late. I think the Mets are a playoff team still, but what does that matter if you don't have guys who are going to do it come playoff time? We're in an interesting spot in New York sports, though. Every single team in New York sports made the postseason in their most recent season, except the New York Jets, and the New York Jets just got Aaron Rodgers. So that is, I mean, we're in a good place. You know, the Mets got eliminated in the wild card last year. The Yankees didn't make it to a World Series. The Giants won one playoff game. The Rangers just lost in the first round. The Islanders just lost in the first round. The Nets just lost in the first round. And the Knicks are, you know, have a dogfight ahead of them. But, like, it's a good place to be when every single team in New York is making the playoffs. Every single professional team, the Big Four, is making the playoffs, except the Jets. And now you've added Aaron Rodgers. It's a good place to be for New York sports. Now, there was a thing I saw recently, which was the New York, who is the king of New York sports? And it was the New York sports top 10 list. And it was done via, I don't know, it was done via some website, and then it was posted on SNY, and this was the list. 1, Jalen Brunson. 2, Aaron Judge. 3, Mikal Bridges. 4, Saquon Barkley. 5, Anthony Volpe, LOL. 6, Julius Randle. 7, Francisco Lindor. 8, Pete Alonso. 9, Igor Shesterkin. And 10, Daniel Jones. And this list, to me, is a debacle. A lot of people said Aaron Judge is one. No, Jalen Brunson is one. Jalen Brunson's one. Jalen Brunson has brought serious playoff basketball back to New York. Jalen Brunson is one. Aaron Judge, in my opinion, is two. I would go Pete Alonso. I mean, the idea that he's 8, the idea that he's behind Lindor, Volpe, Randle, Bridges, Barkley, like, come on. To me, the king of New York sports right now, Jalen Brunson 1, Aaron Judge 2, Pete Alonso 3. Saquon Barkley, I mean, he's not fucking signed. I'd almost say, okay, here's what I would say. I would say Jalen Brunson 1, Judge 2, Aaron Rodgers without ever being in fucking uniform yet 3. He's already at Knicks games. He's already at Rangers games. The fucking Jets odds are going down. He's the quarterback. I'm going Brunson, Judge, Rodgers, Alonso. I think you just got to go Barkley, or sorry, not Barkley. I think you got to go Daniel Jones after that. I mean, if Rodgers being the quarterback of the Jets is three, you go Jones five. Then maybe, I mean, Anthony Volpe's not on my fucking list. So he's out. He's replaced with Rodgers in this top 10. I'm like, Mikal Bridges on the Nets. I'm putting him 10 on this list. I'm going, where were we at? Brunson, Judge, Rodgers, Alonzo, Daniel Jones. I don't know. Julius Randle, Shesterkin, Lindor, Saquon Barkley. Like, that's probably where I'm at right now. That's my top 10. And like, cause this list is a fucking nightmare. But I'll tell you one thing, Brunson's won. Win or lose in this series, Knicks basketball means more to New York City as a whole than Yankees baseball. It does. Yankees baseball is split in New York. Baseball is Mets and Yankees. Football is Jets and Giants. Brooklyn and the Knicks are not fucking split. New York sports fans are Knicks fans. You got weird fucking people who moved here from Minnesota to Williamsburg or to fucking Park Slope and were like, oh, I'll be a Nets fan. Cool. You have people from fucking Jersey. You have people who maybe remember them from fucking Long Island and are like still Dr. J fans and have come back around. Fine. But like, there is no split in New York sports fans over basketball, which is why Jalen Brunson's won. Jalen Brunson is fucking won. And yeah, that's that. The rest of it, you know, I kind of did on the fly, but that is the, he's won for sure. And I think Judge, with as great as he's been, is probably two. And Alonzo's been just as great as Judge. He doesn't have that one monster season, but he's got more home runs since coming in the big leagues than I think anybody. So to me, he's four behind Rodgers, and then you, the quarterbacks are the most important fucking position in football, and football is a huge deal. So five, like my top five is fucking pretty locked. Brunson, Judge, Rodgers, Alonzo, Daniel Jones. That's my, a locked and loaded top five. So, that's really fucking it. I'm going to do these like more often. I've talked to a couple people about just coming on. Like I said, sorry they're not fucking hilarious. But I'm gonna start putting up comedy sets and bits and whatever. I'm kind of just like over the fucking social media thing right now. Shadow banned on Twitter for shadow banned on Twitter for not paying $8. I'm shadow banned on TikTok for making fun of Taylor Swift. And Instagram, I'm not shadow banned, so I guess follow me there, at Joe Prano on all the things. And just subscribe to the Substack. It's free for now. I'm not going to be putting comedy bits up for free. Those are going to have to pay for. So make like Keenan Soto and pay the $5. And also go in there in the chat section and reply to my what the fuck you want to talk about shit, and we'll talk about it. Go in there and follow me on the notes thing, because it's going to be where I put the Twitter. I'm going to get to putting some notes out right now, and because I have some more thoughts on tonight's games. But I don't want to fucking go on Twitter. Twitter's a fucking cesspool. I might delete it from my phone entirely. Fuck Elon Musk. Like, fuck racists. Fuck Phil Jackson. Fuck people who think that you should choke somebody to death on the New York City subway because you're scared. It's just all about fear. You know, the fucking Bud Light, Dylan Mulvaney fucking thing. It's about fear. You're all fucking scared. Like, what the fuck are you so scared of? Who gives a fuck? Just like, live your fucking life. Stop being fucking racist because you're scared. Stop being violent because you're fucking scared. Stop fucking buying entire social media platforms because you're fucking scared and then ruining them. You're all fucking soft. And So yeah, I'm gonna put this shit and other shit on the Substack. Yeah, this is just me getting some shit off my chest. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon or not soon. Who the fuck knows? You let me know. Okay. Peace the fuck out.
Hey Joe, I like Joe's show. I tell everybody that's my shit. See, I had a long ride, turned the volume up high, and the time flew by so quick. I laughed out loud, that's what it's about. I really don't feel safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause he drinks till he hits the flow. Hey Joe, it's time to stop the show. Pack it up and away we go. Donate cause we almost broke. Everybody, that was dope.